Number two is, how do you earn respect of your customers? I ride with a lot of salespeople. As a matter of fact, just 2 weeks ago, I was up in Indiana, and I was working with a salespeople. We were interviewing seven restaurant owners. And as we were interviewing them, we asked them, what does it take to get a new account? What does it take for you to be interested in a new salesperson that calls on you? Let's say a new salesperson comes in here. You don't know who he is. You don't know his company. You've never heard of him before. You're okay with what you got. What would it take that person to do to interest you? And I asked them, and it was pretty much all the same. First of all, they have to know my business. They can't just come in and try to sell me something right off the bat. They have to do a little research. They have to maybe go to my website, maybe find out what I sell, look at my menu, do a little homework, and then schedule a presentation. And that seems to be the way that customers themselves have told me how they want. And sometimes it may take 4, 5, 6 calls to get to that point, because you may have to go in and just leave your card and come back again with more information and before you're ready to make that presentation. So that was what they had said. But another thing that this kind of gets me, really. Every now and then a sales manager will call me up and say, "Bob, my salespeople tell me that they're not comfortable selling chemicals. They're not comfortable selling produce. We always were a meat house, let's say, and now we're trying to go full line, and they're not comfortable selling all these things." It may sound familiar. You kind of grew up in the pizza business and the Italian food business, and now you're having to go call on country clubs. So, I'm not comfortable talking to chefs. I'm not comfortable talking to country clubs. Well, my response to that is to get comfortable. If you're looking for comfort, you're in the wrong business. This is the most uncomfortable business there is. How many line items you got? What? I think we were talking last night, I think all together, including your national account stuff, what, about 13,000 line items? Good golly, 13,000 line items. Man, that is a bunch of stuff to learn. But when they say, "I'm not comfortable," that should send up a red flag. I'm not comfortable selling mops and brooms. That's janitorial stuff. I'm not a janitorial salesman. I'm a meat guy, or I'm an expert here. Well, in our business, we have to be whatever it takes to get that order. We have to expand our knowledge. We have to expand our knowledge base. We have to be in the food business. I was up in a company here in upper state New York here, and I was doing a presentation for them. This was in January. And before I got up, they had a manufacturer up here. And she was talking about a new product. And it was duck bacon. You sell duck bacon? I mean, think of it, duck bacon. I couldn't believe it. The first time I ever heard of duck bacon. Duck bacon? Is that really real? Duck bacon? Good golly, I thought. Duck bacon. How do they make that? Well, they'd make it just like they do turkey bacon, only it's made out of duck. I thought, how exciting could that be? You can say, "Well, I'm not comfortable selling duck bacon." Well, just think how much fun you could have selling duck bacon. You go out to your customers, "Man, I got something that's going to blow your socks off. I got something going to blow your mind. Duck bacon. Duck bacon. Duck. Like quack. Duck bacon." Wouldn't that be fun? See their reaction? I've even got some samples. Let's cook some off. I've been eating all day, and the stuff is just fantastic. Duck bacon. See, that's exciting. So whenever you get something like a mop or a broom or anything that you're not comfortable with, think, "Man, that's a great opportunity for me to learn something. Great opportunity for me to have a little better knowledge base." Talk about being uncomfortable or moving out of your comfort zone. We've probably got some new salespeople in here. Anybody less than a year? Okay, we got a couple less than a year. That's uncomfortable. be in this business. I know what you're going through. I remember every detail about how tough it is, and so do we all remember. But it's a learning process, and it takes time. It takes calls. You have to go through all these credit issues, all these out of stocks, all these hot shots, all these product, all these sales meetings, you know, before you ever get a chance to go out and really feel confident about selling. And as a matter of fact, it takes 3 years. 3 years before you actually say, I think I got it. On the first day of the fourth year, you wake up that day and you say, man, I think I got it. I finally know what a WOG is. WOG, what? You know, how are you ever going to know what a WOG is? I had one guy that said for a long time, he thought it meant without gravy. But of course it means without the jib pack, you know. Probably somebody in here doesn't realize that yet. You know, what's a 2x2? I thought that would be like a stick of wood. What's a pismo? What is all this stuff that I'm talking about? But after 3 years of being uncomfortable, you will finally get it. So anybody who leaves the industry before 3 years, they don't give it to 3 years, they're a quitter. They just quit. They just don't have what it takes to make it in this business. Now, once you're in it for 5 years, you can't get out. You may try. You may say, I'm going to go sell cars. I'm going to go sell insurance. I'm going to go sell real estate. I'm going to go sell anything but food. Give you 6 months to a year, you'll be knocking back on the door. Can I have my job back? I didn't realize how good I had it. I didn't realize what a great industry this is, what a great job I really had. I live in Oklahoma City, and they make a lot of horse trailers around central Oklahoma. And I had a company call me up a while ago, and they said, Bob, we're having a sales meeting. All our dealers are coming in from all over the country, and we need somebody to talk on sales. And it's, you know, we may manufacture horse trailers. And I thought, what do I know about horse trailers? I'm a butcher. I know how to cut one up, but I don't think that's what they were looking at. So red flag up. Yeah, I'll take it. I'll do it. So I went down to the manufacturer, where they manufacture them. Of course, they do everything backwards. You know, I've always been to the meat companies and food companies, and that's where they bring in the whole animal, take it all apart, sell all the pieces. Well, I went to this trailer manufacturer, and they're doing everything just the opposite. They were bringing in all the pieces, sending out the whole thing. I thought they got it mixed up. And then I took all their brochures so I could read them and study on them. And then they were having a show there, a trailer show before the thing. So I got my boots and cowboy hat on. I went down, started walking around, looking at those trailers. You know, you can buy a horse trailer for $500,000. And they got living quarters and everything in them. They're all self-contained. I mean, they are beautiful. You could live in one full time without the horse. And I'm thinking, you know, if I could, $500,000, you only have to sell a couple a year. You do pretty good. So I studied, I talked to customers, I really got to know these horse trailers, and so I went and I did the program. It went over pretty good. I felt pretty good about it. Matter of fact, it was so good, they even gave me a shirt. Now, they didn't give me just any shirt. They gave me a nice shirt. And just to prove it, I got it on. See that? C&M horse trailers. So, you know, if the food business goes south, I got a backup plan. I can go out and sell horse trailers. So you never know what stepping out of the comfort zone is going to do for you. I went to was invited to do a government. They're in a government conference, and they needed somebody to talk on negotiating. So I thought, man, what do I know about government negotiating? That's like an oxymoron. So I took it on, and it went over pretty good. Didn't get a shirt, but, you know, it wasn't too bad. Larry mentioned that I went down to New Zealand. And, you know, that sounds good. I mean, you know, they go, wow, it's really great. Well, 10 years ago, I went down there. That's when ID Magazine was publishing their articles, and he read all my stuff. And so I put him on my email list, and I was emailing him. And he said, well, we want to have you come to New Zealand. And this was 10 years ago. And I said, okay, fine. I said, I'd be glad to come down. And I went down there, and I did a four-hour sales meeting for him, and then some ride withs, and it was right there in Auckland, and it was a great time, and really, really helped their business. They grew tremendously since then. Well, last year they called me again and said, Bob, we want you to come down and speak at our conference for an hour. And I'm thinking, an hour? You know, I mean, all that way for an hour? That's not comfortable. I tell you, you better have something significant to say in that hour, because they're going to pay your way, and your wife's, they paid my wife's way down there too. Round trip, 7,500 miles one way, 15,000 miles. They put us up there for a whole week, paid all our expenses for 1 hour. And if that wasn't bad enough, when I got there, they even had water bottles with my picture on it. And they had a post, because when I checked in the hotel, they said, oh, hi, Bob. Hi, Mr. Orris, they said. How do you know who I am? Well, there's pictures of you all over the conference room up there. Now, you talk about being uncomfortable. I mean, that was tough duty, really was. And, you know, they talk a little different down there. I mean, they talk backwards, seems like. And sometimes they have a hard time understanding them. Then their sense of humor is altogether different. You could say something really funny, they won't laugh. You can say something serious, and they'll roll over. So you got to be in tune with them. But stepping out of your comfort zone, now I got bragging rights on going down there, and we had a great time. I'm a member of the National Speakers Association, but let me back up just a little bit. When I first started off in the business, like Larry, I worked in a supermarket. And I started bagging groceries part-time for just some extra money. And they said, you know, we'd like to have you maybe take on this apprenticeship in the meat department. So I said, okay, that'd be great. So I went in the meat department, and 3-year apprenticeship program, I became a meat cutter, certified meat cutter. And then, you know, because I had that, I went up to Maine, and I started my own meat company. I bought a meat company that was going out of business and took that. But then, you know, everything went along, and I got into this business, and I was doing a program for a group of dietitians. And the dietitian, she was writing up my bio, and she said, well, do you have any certifications? And, you know, I never even gave it a thought that I was a certified meat cutter. And I said, no, I really don't. She said, well, didn't you say you were a meat cutter? I said, yeah, I'm a certified meat cutter. I was certified by the union. She said, well, then you're a CMC. Well, I guess I am. She says, people think you're smarter if you put some letters after your name. So I became a CMC that day. And then I joined the National Speakers Association. And the National Speakers Association has about 4,000 members. Well, they have a designation that they call a CSP. That's a Certified Speaking Professional. And there's only a handful of people out of all the 4,000, there's only a handful of people that are actually CSPs, that actually have the qualifications to do that. So I became uncomfortable. I said, I want to be a CSP. I didn't think there was any chance of that making it happen, but I thought, I'm going to take a chance at it. So I got the application. The application was 50 pages. I mean, they had to look at your demo video. They had to attend your programs. They had to look at all your marketing stuff. It was just unbelievable. Then you had to go before a board, and they would decide whether or not you would be certified. So I went through the whole entire thing just all the time thinking, well, I'll just put the paperwork in. Probably never happened. And lo and behold, I became a CSP, a Certified Speaking Professional. Well, now, look at me now. Wow. CMC, and CSP. And I started looking down through that list of all these other CSPs. And I mean, there are some really, really important people on there. They had guys like Brian Tracy, Zig Ziglar, who, you know, recently passed away, but lived right here in Dallas. I mean, these were some really high level speakers. I'm looking at that list, and I noticed there wasn't one other meat cutter on that list. And I said, well, there you have it. I'm the only person in the whole entire world that's a CMC certified meat cutter and a CSP certified speaking professional. What that means is I'm the only person in the whole entire world that's actually certified to butcher a good speech. And I've done that, trust me. But that became my signature. The only guy in the world that is certified to butcher a good speech. So, became my unique selling proposition. So to earn respect, what do you have to do? You have to step out of your comfort zone a little bit. Sell something that you don't normally sell. Challenge yourself just a little bit. And your customers will respect you, and you'll respect yourself. And you'll gain that confidence, that product knowledge that customers are so hungry for. So number one, 4% improvement in the attitude. Number two, step out of your comfort zone, do something a little different, challenge yourself, and earn the respect of your customers.